Welcome. This is the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide, KFUO. KFUO is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. It's Monday. We're back into our work in Romans. So we welcome you, those listening in Argentina and Poland and Croatia and all across the globe. I mean, we don't make this stuff up. We are worldwide.
Pastor yes, Crockett. We are.
And also, 24 U.S. states. Where are the rest of you?
Yeah, the last time I was down here, we were in 38. What's going on? Well, people are sleeping in.
Maybe they heard
it's
you were
Veterans
coming back.
Day and it's a holiday.
Well, that's true. Well, if it's a holiday, more people should be listening. Don't you think?
One would think.
Yeah. 24 states, Dallas, Houston, and Hewitt, Texas online. Good day. Howdy, y'all. I guess that's the way you do it properly. Proper greeting in Texas. Howdy, y'all.
Y'all got a friend in Texas.
That's right. I've been to Dallas and San Antonio. That's what I can claim.
Been so to suburban Dallas and to the Woodlands and to Tomball.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Pastor Larry Troxell is back from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois, and despite the weather, and yeah, I did say snow in the forecast. This is such a typical St. Louis forecast. You know, it's 60 today, partly sunny is where it starts out, then it's going to cloud up, we're going to get some rain, overnight it's going to drop down to 27.
And then, oh, really? And Quincy is going to get to 19.
Well,
but they're
that's
not quite as they're not quite as definite about the snow.
Well, you see, we have all that radiant heat. No, literally, the radiant heat from all the pavement and stuff here. You're more country than we are, so you've got more chill coming on.
That's fine.
And this is and then sunshine and 36 for your Tuesday. And then as we go down the week, look at this. By the time we get to Friday, it's going to be sunny and 51.
Yep.
So it's the roller coaster that is, you know, late fall, early winter.
I think God has fun with us. Let's see what they do with this one.
Yeah. Well, the thing you have to wonder is all those folks that came over from Saxony.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best place you could find? You didn't notice there was a beach in Florida somewhere? Really?
They wanted something like home. Remember, they stopped at Nolens.
That's true. That's true.
And they said,
they got a taste of the Southland. That is for sure. So how are you, my friend? It's good to see you here on this Veterans Day, as we probably have gained some listeners who are enjoying a day off and well-deserved.
I am just fine. We had a great day Saturday riding a little bit of the Katy Trail down here.
I heard that when you came in. You greeted Buzz so warmly.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Yes.
And then also, today is St. Martin's Day. Now, why is St. Martin's Day important?
Wasn't he involved with tours?
I think so.
We had, back when I was in seminary in Springfield, we had a prof who's long ago in heaven, Martin Nauman. And his nickname was Martin of Tours because he always led the Holy Land tours with the students.
Well, that would be Saint Nabil of armor.
I'm not going there.
Yeah.
But Martin of Tours, namely in what is today France, was a soldier of all things.
Roman soldier, right?
Roman soldier.
Yeah,
this is back in like the 4th century A.D. And he went on to become a bishop of the church and is the, quote, patron saint, unquote, of the military and of military chaplains. And you talk about a very special ministry.
Mm.
While we're thinking of veterans today, let's also thank God for those men whom God calls to serve as chaplains for our military services.
And friend, let me tell you, in today's political environment, I'm not going political on the Bible study, but I'm just saying, the challenges chaplains face today, Lutheran chaplains, Roman Catholic chaplains, all the chaplains across the board, unless you happen to be Wiccan, then I think you're probably top of the list. But, well, that's just the way, that's where our culture is going.
Yeah, I know.
And now, there was another article in the news this morning about how military chaplains, depending upon where they are, this is not a uniform thing yet, but rules are being interpreted that praying in the name of Jesus, and well, even during the government shutdown, Roman Catholic priests were prevented from serving Mass. You know, so it's tough to be a chaplain today. Brothers, we feel for you.
Because this whole what's called same-sex marriage, unquote, thing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, some of the commanding officers, not chaplain commanding officers so much as commanding officers of units and bases and that, are trying to force some of our men to do things which, according to Scripture, they dare not do.
And they're threatened with loss of rank, loss of commission.
Oh, all sorts of dishonorable
discharge. Yeah. So
and just think of having to live day in and day out under that heat.
It's tough. Also, St. Martin of Tours is important because the tradition in the old world was the child is born the next day, because you didn't know how long children would live.
That's right.
You had them baptized, and the tradition at the time was you named the child for the saint whose day was commemorated that day. So who was baptized today? Way, way, way back.
I think it's probably some very obscure person. His father's name was Hans.
Yeah, well, that was my father's name.
Oh, really?
But I wasn't baptized today. No.
And so the man of whom we are speaking is, of course, Martin Luther.
Whose birthday was yesterday. Happy
and
birthday.
And was baptized, his spiritual birthday today.
And he's named Martin because today is the Feast of St. Martin.
Yes, exactly.
St. Martin of Tours. So that's a little bit of history for you. Also,
but he also became quite a soldier in the church, if you will.
Absolutely. Also today, we should remember, as we pray to begin Romans 11, 33 to 36, we're going to wrap up chapter 11 of Romans today. We should remember what the people of the Philippines are enduring right now.
Yeah.
If you happen to catch President Harrison on the news last night talking about the efforts that the LCMS is putting together to bring relief to the Philippines, you can go to the LCMS website, lcms.org, find out more about that. If you care to contribute, we encourage that strongly. You can find more information out there. But let's remember the suffering that they're going through on this day.
Absolutely.
As they recover from this typhoon.
Gracious God, Heavenly Father, it is with profound thanks that we come to you today because of the grace and mercy that you continually show to us. For while there has been much trouble in this world, you have preserved us safe and secure in so many ways. Thank you for the blessings you showered upon us and upon our nation. Thank you for all those who have served and are now serving in our nation's military. Watch over them, keep them safe, keep them walking in agreement with your word and will, and let them know your presence with them, the promises that you give in your word, so that they might serve you and us with confidence and in holiness. We pray that you would be with all those who have been so severely afflicted by the storm in the Philippines. It's hard for us to imagine, Lord, tens of thousands of bodies just being out there exposed to the elements, the loss not just of property but of human lives. Father, we grieve with those who grieve, and we pray your mercy upon all those who have endured so much. We thank you for those who already are moving in ways to bring relief to those who are suffering. We ask your guidance and direction upon all who are coming to the aid of those who have lost so much. We pray your blessing also upon the work being done by LCMS, World Relief, and Human Care as they seek to respond to this tragedy, and upon all the other caring agencies. We pray that you would be with each one. And we thank you for people like Martin of Tours, who served his country in the military and then served you in your church. Be with all those who serve as chaplains to our military services. Give them wisdom. Give them faithfulness to your word. Give them strength to stand up to all of the challenges they face. Give them hearts that are tuned to the needs of the men and women whom they serve with your word and sacrament, and bless and keep them and prosper their ministry. All this we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
Amen. If you would like to join us this morning as we wrap up chapter 11 of Romans, call us at 821-0850 here in St. Louis. If you're outside of the area, 1-800-730-2727. Email's working great, KFUO@KFUO.org. You know, I put a little thing up on Facebook today. You probably didn't get a chance to see it. You're driving down.
Correct.
But it's the picture of a crying child. And
why?
It says, "You are, I hate to break it to you, you are not God." And I thought
that's great.
That was perfect for our lesson today as we go into this closing bit of Romans chapter 11. And the text goes as follows. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. And that is the text. Okay, God is God. You are not. For some reason, this doesn't seem right.
Actually, thank God he's God and I'm not, because I'd make a mess of everything.
Really? It seems like there's a lot of folks out there competing to be God these days.
Yes, absolutely.
They may not put it that way, but I think they comport themselves that way.
Absolutely they do, because they think they're smart and they think they've got all wisdom and all authority, and they're going to do what they want to do, and are they in for a surprise? Mm.
Well, here's your assignment. Describe for me the greatness of God's greatness and his glory in 1,000 words or less.
Jesus.
Well, you have to break that out a little bit.
No, I know. Well, you wanted 1,000 words or less, and I did
But
let's take a look at
volumes
this.
And volumes and volumes have been written about this. And here Paul, in very simple order, says, you're never going to figure this out.
No, you're not. Just look at verse 33. The wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul confronts that, and he just goes, oh! Not only are his wisdom and knowledge rich, you can't plumb the depths. So you're going from the highest heights to the deepest depths, and you can't get either one. It was a great thing, people thought, when Sir Hillary conquered Mount Everest back in the 1950s. Wow, great. You know, highest point on Earth. That is just a smidgen compared to the greatness of God's wisdom and knowledge. People think it's great when they can go down into the deepest depths of the ocean and not be crushed by all the pressure and all that. Yeah, you haven't plumbed the depths of the abundance of God's wisdom and knowledge. See, that word riches there actually sort of throws us off a little bit. We're not talking about God's wealth and possessions. But Paul is exclaiming about the richness, the abundance of God's wisdom, the richness, the abundance of God's knowledge. Oh, my. And the greatest expression of this really is that one word answer I gave you. What human being ever would have thought of God becoming incarnate and then becoming sin and enduring the punishment that all people deserve? No one would ever have thought of that. And still today, people can't figure it out. I mean, this takes us right back to 1 Corinthians 2:13. The natural mind perceiveth not the things of God, for they are foolishness to him, for they are spiritually discerned. And even believers, when we get a peek into this, we're overwhelmed, and we say, I can't begin. You know, our greatest theologians on the seminary campuses, even my former professor at what was in Springfield, now in Fort Wayne, Dr. David P. Scare, as brilliant as he is, sorry, Dr. Scare, you can't even begin to deal with this one.
Well, to that point, I mean, we've spent a couple of days now, as we've gone through Romans 11 very slowly, talking about the role of God in history. We've looked at how Israel stumbles.
Yes.
We look at how that brings the Gentiles into the church.
Yes.
Last week, as we wrapped up the week's study, we find out that God isn't finished with Israel yet.
No.
There is something yet to come. And then here comes Paul now saying, don't try and figure it out.
No, please don't. Well, then you'll only hurt your head.
Then maybe we should convert this into sports radio.
No, but we
why, if we can't understand it, this is the simple question. If we can't understand it, why study it?
So because it fills us with praise and honor to God, which is our ultimate purpose. All we ever can do is stand in amazement and praise God, and that's exactly what he wants us to do.
So not getting answers doesn't lead to frustration?
It will if you don't trust in the Savior that God has provided for us. You're going to be very frustrated. And even those who do trust in Christ Jesus are going to have times of frustration. You know, why in the world is God letting this happen to me? You laugh, but you sit there and you say the same thing.
I've been there. That's why I'm laughing, because you've nailed me.
Yeah, it nails all of us.
You know, master of your pastorly craft. You nailed
me. And
thank
you. But, you know, I get nailed and just, quit trying. Quit trying so hard.
So pull up your big boy theological pants and learn to cope.
Yeah, really. And just sit back and relax in the hammock of God's gracious love and care. Because his wisdom and his knowledge far exceed anything you can even imagine. Hmm.
So God is big and I am small, and if all these things made sense, you come to the point where you have to ask, well, why would he give a rip about me?
Just
if I'm so small and insignificant, what's the point?
Just because he does. He's the one who gave you life, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He's established a relationship with you through holy baptism. And if, you know, I'm not going to be a spokesman for an insurance company, but you are in good hands with the living God.
But if you cannot comprehend this living God, how can you possibly have a relationship with him? It's like saying, I've been married to my wife for 30 years, and I've never met her.
You've been married to your wife for 30 years?
Just about, yeah.
All right. I'll say something that my late mother-in-law said. She died in 1975, right after she and my wife's father celebrated the 30th anniversary. And she said, you can be married to someone for 30 years and never really know them.
Hmm.
And the rest of the family, including my father-in-law, have yet to figure out what in the world she was talking about.
Well, that's
but that's just the way it is. God really loves to have a relationship with you and simply wants you to rely on him as your dear Heavenly Father in Christ Jesus.
You know, you really can't talk about this subject and where Paul is taking us at this closing, these closing verses of Romans 11 today, without thinking about Job.
Right.
Basically in the same position, trying to figure it out. Job 42:2, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. All right. So Job tried to understand. He demanded, and I must know these things. You know, tell me. And basically he gets swatted back.
Oh, listen. I love the book of Job because when you know he spends all these chapters with his three, quote, friends, unquote, asking all the questions that you run into in decision theology, basically, and why it's so wrong. And finally, and he goes along corking off and saying, I sure wish God would show up around here because I've got a few things I want to say to him.
If he would just listen to me, imagine what the world would be like.
Yeah. And God shows up and he says, pull up your pants.
Your big boy pants.
Gird up your loins. Stand up here. I'm going to question you, and you're going to answer me. And all of a sudden, Job goes, oh. And you don't get me. Finally, in chapter 42, he says, I repent in dust and ashes because I heard about you, but I've never really experienced you. Now I have.
and you say that this awesomeness, this vastness, this incomprehensive God should drive us to worship him?
When you recognize what he's done, namely, he committed his own son into life, into carrying all of our guilt, into becoming sin for us, taking it all from us. He put it all on his son and punished him and says, I love you so much, I'm going to punish him instead.
wow, this text has really put you in preacher mode. I'm liking this.
Oh, I love this text. when I first found out what verses we were doing, I was thinking, what in the world are we going to do with this?
Yeah.
And I got into it, and I said, oh, wow.
Yep. I wish we had the camera. They're eventually going to put a camera
in here
someday.
So.
Because you're taking flight.
We have too much fun in here.
The arms are going. You're gonna circle the room twice if you keep going like this.
Well, way back when I was actually in a parish full time, I had a Wednesday morning Bible class, and the poor lady who sat to my immediate right, she almost got clubbed every 5 minutes, and finally she realized she needed to move two seats away, and nobody else would sit within arm's length of me, because I cannot talk if you tie my arms.
Abused by the church, literally.
Yes, literally. Pastor abuse.
You can join us this morning, 821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO.
And it's safe for you to do so, because I can't hit you from here.
Well, you might find them. Who knows? KFUO, KFUO.org. No, this is a violence-free zone, unless you're talking about the Canaanites and Jebusites and Perizzites, and then things
get him,
are a little
God.
Bit different. So, you know, but the thing is, when you talk about God being so big,
yeah,
and me being so small,
yeah,
doesn't make me feel very good about myself.
Too bad.
I am not a man, but a worm. Thank you.
No, we're not worms. We're not worms. We are human beings. We are the crown of God's creation. He put us in charge of this entire world.
How's that working out for us?
Yeah, right. This is the incredible
this
wisdom
is what we're
of
trying
God.
To yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes. Because he loves us. I'm going to hit a note that I usually don't hit.
I told you, you are in preacher mode today.
Yes. Right? Yeah. He really does love us. And he so desires to be in a personal relationship with every human being, whether they want to have a relationship with him or not. He's doing everything possible to call us to wake up and to recognize who he is his love for us in Christ.
About 2 minutes till we get to the break,
okay.
Pastor Troxell, and you'll need to carry this one over, I'm sure, because this is one of the other big questions about this God who is incomprehensible. We tend to see the angry side of God more than we see other aspects of him. So what drives this humility that you're talking about that we have? Because he is so big, it should drive us to be humble before the Lord, but is that because we fear him, or because we're in awe of him?
I'm glad you used the word awe. That's the key word right there. No, I'm not afraid of him. Well, I would be afraid of him if I were not aware of his love for me in Christ Jesus.
But if he's that big, he can squash me like a bug anytime.
Sure. But he's promised not to do so. He's promised not to do so. Instead, he's given us great and gracious promises, such as when Jesus said, I am with you always. When he says through Isaiah, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you go through the floods, they're not going to overwhelm you. When you walk through the fire, it's not going to set you ablaze. Why? Because I am the Lord your God, your Redeemer. He's given himself. He's given his Son so that we can rest securely in his love. And that's awe, that's love, and that really is what motivates humility. He's done all this for me.
But in a sense, it is a combination of the two. You do have to respect the fact that he's all-powerful.
Respect, yes, but not shaking your shoes fear.
Well, that's what we mean by fear, isn't it? We should fear, love, and trust.
We'll talk about that on the other side.
Well, you were getting to be a radio professional, too. Look at this. Pastor Larry Troxell is here from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Bowen, Illinois. We're wrapping up Romans 11, the last few verses, 33 to 36. Join us, 821-0850. 1-800-730-2727. You know what? The break is a great time to call in. Why don't you do so?
Are you ready for some faith talk?
I got my catechism and my Bible in hand. Lord, it's good to be a Lutheran man. I got friends who can teach, friends who can preach. I got friends who know theology. There's Bill, there's Craig, and there's Laura and Lou. All my Lutheran friends are coming over at 2.
Listen for our new programming beginning December 2nd. Join us each weekday afternoons at 2 for a different program each day. On Monday, we'll be Cross Defense. Tuesday, you'll hear Concord Matters. Wednesday, we'll be Culture and Christianity. Thursday, God Whisperers. And wrapping up the week on Friday, we'll be Book Talk. Listen for more information on our new program lineup here on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO.
Have you ever missed a live broadcast of one of your favorite KFUO programs? Well, let me propose a convenient solution for you. Visit the KFUO website, kfuo.org, and download your favorite program by way of podcast to your iPhone or other smart device. It's easy, it's simple, it's convenient, and you'll never miss another program. KFUO, the official voice of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is the messenger of good news by way of radio, web, and podcast.
Welcome back. It's the Bible Study on the Messenger of Good News Worldwide. KFUO, Pastor Larry Troxell is here, the animated Pastor Larry Troxell.
This is not a cartoon.
No, I don't mean in that sense. I mean full of motion and just, you know, this is great text, and I think you're a great guy. It's funny
and
this
after sitting
out.
Still in my car for 2 hours and 15 minutes driving down here, it's good to have some motion and freedom.
All right, we've talked about this before, and it's one of the words that's misperceived, and this is to pick up your thought as we close the previous half hour of the program about fearing, loving, and trusting God. And I had asked you, what if someone joined us late, the last question I asked was, what drives our humility before the Lord? Fear or awe? Or is it really some combination of the two? And I guess it depends on how you define the words.
If you're quoting from Luther's Small Catechism, we should fear and love God above all, fear, love, and trust in God above all things. We should fear and love God so that we do not do this or that or the other thing. That's a healthy respect for who God is, and I don't want to disappoint him in any way, shape, or form, because look at what all he's done for me in Christ. On the other hand, if you're not in Christ, all you can have toward God really is abject fear, because he is such a threat. And that leads to all sorts of things. People make up their own image of God. Oh, my God wouldn't do this or that or the other thing. Well, I'm sorry, but he not only will he already has, he will continue to do so, and watch out for the end when it really gets bad. Or else people simply deny his existence. They deny the bodily resurrection on the last day. They deny that there's even going to be a last day. There's so much denial of biblical truth at that point. In fact, they even denied there is such a thing as objective truth. All of this is a way of wiggling around to get away from the awesomeness of God when you don't believe in him.
What does this is the conflicting part, I think, yeah. Pastor Troxell, where people look at this vastness of God, and we use words like omnipotent, you know, all powerful, can do anything other than break his word.
Right.
He doesn't go back on his promises.
He cannot lie. He cannot be tempted to sin.
He creates the world simply by speaking.
Yeah.
So when a typhoon hits the Philippines,
right,
people go, God is so big, why didn't he stop it?
Why should he have? So here we are looking at each other, gesturing in silence.
Yeah.
Remember that this world in which we now exist is fallen creation. That typhoon exists, and it did the terrible things it did because, first of all, man rebelled against God. All of this starts back with Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden, where the temptation was, you can be like God.
First commandment.
And still today, people want to be God. They want to be in charge. They have to be in control. I'm not going to listen to anybody. I'm going to do it my way. You know, good old Frank Sinatra.
Frank Sinatra theology, yes. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did it my way.
Well, you know what? If you're going to do things your way, you're going to get stuff like typhoons hitting the Philippines, killing tens and thousands of people. And that's what we human beings have been trying to do ever since even Adam fell into sin. Now, if you reject that whole biblical record, then you're not ever going to be able to figure out God.
Well, do we have the right to question God?
Have you read the Psalms recently?
Well, yeah. A lot of questioning going on there.
Yes, yeah. Right. The psalmist questions God. How long, O Lord? Yeah. Why, O Lord? Yeah. But the key to that is to be satisfied with God's answers. And the answers are in Christ.
See, that goes to Revelation also. The saints under the altar crying out.
How long, O Lord? Yeah, Revelation chapter 5.
Same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the respectful questioning of God.
Yeah, it's not...
Not the shaking your fist, how could you allow this to happen?
It's or the Jesus seminar, which actually denies who Jesus is and everything he's done. No, take a look. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who's been able to track out how God does things and why he does things? We can't. Who's been his counselor? God recently called you and asked for your advice on some proposed course of action?
No, but my number is available to him anytime he wants to.
Yeah, but he wants you to call on him in every trouble. Pray, praise, and give thanks is what his word says. You know, we just can't figure it out. But Jesus is the embodiment of all of God's wisdom. Think about that for a moment.
Well, I want to get to that because we're coming up on the season of Advent, and it's all about the incarnation and all of these things. But let's hold off on that for a few moments here, because a little bit of ground I want to cover first before we get to that, because I want to talk about faith first.
Mm-hmm.
If God's wisdom is so beyond our comprehension, what does that say about faith? In what are we putting our faith?
First of all,
I'm
going back into preacher mode again. I'll warn you now. Let's go back and be clear what we mean when we're talking about faith. It's not a decision we make. It's a gift of God. He gives us the trust that we have in him and his word. It's a gift. It's not something we can produce, manufacture, or do anything about. It's all his doing. What a gracious God we have. You know, I kept saying, you know, he wants to have a relationship with us. He even comes and gives us the faith by which that relationship exists. It's wonderful.
So what's the distinction between knowing and believing?
James, in his letter, nails it pretty well. He says, you believe in one God, you're doing well. Very sarcastically, because it goes on to say, the devil also believes and trembles. The devil knows there's a God. Boy, does he ever know it. He knows he's defeated by Christ. But that doesn't do Satan any good. He's outside of God's grace. The person who has received God's gift of saving faith in Christ Jesus trusts that this God exists, loves him, and is going to do his very best for him every day, even though it doesn't make sense to us as we live through it. So there's a big difference between knowledge and faith, and the key element there is trust, and God gives us that.
We've got callers lined up for you, Pastor Troxell.
Oh, great.
Before we go to them, they seem to be focusing on verse 36. Verse 36, is that...
we're not there yet.
Well, we're working our way up to it, but we're going to... Is verse 36 a doxology? I think before we get the callers on, we should ask that question. And what is a doxology, if it is?
I was just going to say we need to define that term. A doxology, that's a very nice combination of two Greek words, and it's words of praise, words of glory. And so we're assigning to God all this greatness, all this wonder, all this praise. And so Paul says, from him, God's the source. And through him, he's the means by which all of this happens. And to him, the ultimate purpose of all creation is to point to him.
To glorify him.
To glorify him. Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, says, whatever you do in word or deed, I do it all to the glory of God. See that God gets a praise out of it all.
All right, let's go to the phones. And Linda, good morning. You're up first. How is everything in Farmington today?
Oh, it's getting chilly, but I love the cool weather. I'm going to go out and do some more leaves. This verse 36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To him, to whom be glory forever. And, you know, I was thinking, I think it's in Colossians, and well, in John chapter 1, it says, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made.
Mm-hmm.
And even, you know, like as we thank him for our food, as I'm preparing my food lately, I look down at a carrot and I think, what a wonder that is, that he has provided that for us to eat. And I've had the benefit of, you know, raising our own food in a garden and struggling over the years to finally learn how to raise a good garden with our prayers and his. Without him, you know, without the moving of God, nothing would be happening. Nothing would be growing. We would have nothing to eat today.
Right.
We would have nothing in our hands to prepare for our families. And that's where these little things, too, we start knowing how much God loves us. And that's where trust comes from, when you know God loves us and how he limited himself to be one of us, his son limited himself to be held by an angel and be strengthened by an angel when he was in Gethsemane. I think, you know, how wonderful it is to realize how much God loves us. And when we start witnessing to this world, I remember years ago, right after our when our son had just gone to heaven, and I was listening to KFUO, and Paulie was on the radio that morning, and Brother Paulie says, it's 9 o'clock, and Jesus loves you. And, oh, he did that every morning. He would tell you what time it was, and he'd say, Jesus loves you. And I do that. I call my friend that I'm witnessing to, and I'll say, it's 9:45. Jesus loves you. And I think, you know, if we want somebody to trust God, just instill that in them. Tell them and make them aware, even every last drop of food we have, it's his love shown to us. And especially through the blood of his son, he's shown us his love. I love you all.
Thanks, Linda.
Thanks. Since she's going back out to rake leaves, look at them. Wonder and majesty of God in the design and color of each of those leaves. Wow.
Yeah, that was
Though I was muttering about how many there were.
Yeah, that was the focus of the children's message at Ascension yesterday.
Good.
Was about Moses and the burning bush. And guess what our pastor has in his front yard?
A burning bush.
So he brought these red leaves in for the kids and gave them.
I'm glad because
Pastor Matt Clark.
Ours died with the drought this summer. Didn't make it.
Yeah, I don't have a green thumb either. All right. Good morning, Cheryl. Thank you for waiting.
Hi.
Good morning.
Okay, I have the problem that when I'm listening, my mind starts going to all these other verses.
Try hosting the program.
Try being here with Roland asking you questions.
Yeah, the question that you asked, how do we get the assurance that God is for us and then this verse, from him, through him, to him.
Mm-hmm.
We know that God is the giver of all good gifts, and he gives us his son. That's from him.
Mm-hmm.
And we know where our goal is. It's to him.
Mm-hmm.
And like Job says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand on the earth. And after my skin has been thus destroyed, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. And then he says, my heart faints. Well, how does God keep us from fainting at this knowledge? And it's the through part, the means. It's the means of grace. It's his word, the water, the baptism. He gives us the faith, and then he establishes us firm in the faith with his giving us his body and his blood. So that's how we have the assurance that God is for us. And I like Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter mm-hmm. of our faith. Yeah. And yeah. so it goes on, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And then, so you do not get weary in your battle against sin. Consider him. And so he's the one that gives us the strength. He's the one that gives us the faith to keep battling sin and to make it to the goal. He's the one that makes us worthy to make it to the goal.
Run the good race.
Yes.
Thanks, Cheryl.
I simply, how do you respond to that? Simply to say, recognize that she has her Doctor of Theology degree, and it's good and solid. I thank God when people can deal with the Word of God that way. That is, you know, that is so great. And again, to him be the glory.
Yesterday morning, I'm driving to church with my oldest daughter, and she says, you know, I know, Dad, you don't like the Christmas commercials starting so early. But she says, I just love the Christmas season. I said, wait a minute. What is the Christmas season? Because, you know, the Christmas season doesn't start until
December 25th.
Christmas! Before that, it's the Advent. And, of course, I get the, oh, come on, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Her point was well taken.
Think the way the world thinks.
Right. She loves this time of year, and it's a great, especially if you come from a German heritage. Yeah. It's all about Christmas. It's the big deal. But let's talk about the incarnation. Let's talk about the advent of the Christ. Make the connection for me. The Advent season being almost upon us. God's wisdom is revealed at Advent. Explain how.
We have a world. We have human beings who are in worse condition than those thousands of dead bodies in the Philippines. You have an entire population like that. The entire world's population is dead. How in the world are you going to intervene in a way that balances God's love and his divine justice?
Mm.
No human being has ever thought this one through successfully. And in fact, Scripture even says that if the spiritual forces of evil had understood what God was doing in Christ, they would never have allowed him to be crucified. That's the wisdom of God. He does the unthinkable.
Hmm.
He breaks in to our human situation because he loves us so much, and he becomes one of us, true God and true man. Now, imagine this. Think of this. It does require some use of imagination because our brains, excuse me, too many leaves yesterday. Our brains really can't fathom this out, but that the eternal God would leave the glories of heaven and become incarnate in the womb of a human mother, and after 9.5 months be born as a human being and live a human life and take upon himself our guilt, our punishment, that he would actually be abandoned by his heavenly Father so that God need never abandon us. That's what the incarnation is all about. That's what Advent is all about. That's what the Christmas season is all about, both before December 25th and following December 25th. You've got to see the cross in all of that.
Well, the ancient prayers of the church, the O Antiphons of Advent, illustrate this. If you ever wonder why we sing these things at Advent time, these are all declarations of the Christ and who he is and what he does. But explain also how wisdom and truth and grace are not just concepts.
No, they're Jesus. They're all in Jesus. That's him.
That's why the incarnation is so critical for all this.
I said it earlier. Jesus is the embodiment of wisdom, knowledge, grace, power, love. I mean, he breaks into our world and he's there in human form. And of all things, he's a baby and he grows. And then he becomes a man who is maligned and ultimately crucified so that you and I can belong to God as his dearly loved children forever. That's the kind of wisdom and knowledge that's unfathomable and untrackable. There's no roadmap that could ever reveal this.
Well, we started out talking about how God's knowledge and ways are beyond our comprehension. But now that we've talked about the incarnation, do we have to modify that a little bit?
Why?
Well, I'm just wondering. Because the personification of all these things in human flesh does make it a little bit more understandable, doesn't it?
Not really.
Okay.
Jesus' own disciples.
I can't get you off your game. I'm trying.
Jesus' own. Doing this is so. They really do need to put cameras in here. Jesus' own disciples spent 3 years with him.
Had no clue.
And had absolutely no clue. After the resurrection, what question do they ask him? Lord, are you at this point going to restore the kingdom to Israel?
Right.
Are we now going to have an earthly kingdom? I've said it before. If I were Jesus at that point, I would be banging my head against a concrete wall in frustration. But Jesus isn't. He just says, you know, guys, that's really not any concern of yours. Leave it to the Heavenly Father. And he says, I've got work for you to do. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's, here we are. And how many countries and states are we now? What's the latest?
I haven't gotten an update, but it's probably somewhere around 30 plus right now.
In states and 19 countries.
We're working towards 57. Trust me, we're going to get there one day.
If you do, I don't want to be anywhere near this studio. I mean that goes beyond the incomprehensible.
Let's just, we've talked about some very broad theological subjects today.
Sure.
And let's just narrow this down for the average Joe. How much of this stuff do I need to know? How much of this stuff do I need to understand in order to receive salvation?
In the proper sense, I don't understand it at all. That's why I'm in the Word every day. What's the bare minimum for salvation? What Paul said to the jailer at Philippi, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Just trusting that what Jesus did, he did for you. See, and those are the important words, for you. The person who has been given that faith is saved. That's why my grandchildren, the moment they were baptized, were saved. That's why you and I, the moment we were baptized, were saved. We didn't have great theological insight at that point. We simply trusted. We were given that trust in Jesus.
I wanted to save this for the end of the program. We've got about 3 minutes before we have to let you go, Pastor Froxell. Sometimes this is made a big deal of, and I don't know why it should be, but it seems to me that there's been quite a bit of discussion in the, I'm waving my air quotes here, new church, about praying. And one of the questions that comes up is that if God knows everything and he knows best and everything works, you know, to his purpose, well, what's the point of prayer then?
We need it. That's the point.
But I mean, if I can't change God's mind, and if I'm not smart enough to negotiate with him, what's the point?
Remember that in prayer, we're not trying to change God's mind. We're asking him to change ours to bring it into alignment with his will. Because he knows what's best. I still have to have the picture that I'm that tiny little child holding my dear daddy's hand, and he knows the proper way to lead me, even though this ain't making one bit of sense to me. He knows how we're going to get there and all that sort of thing. That's why he commands us to pray. He invites us to, he does both. He commands and invites us to pray for our own peace and security so he can bring us into alignment with his will through his word.
The text today ends with the word amen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about prayer. We end our prayers with the word amen. What does that mean?
It's a Hebrew word that has just been pulled into English and into, I don't know how many other languages still just say amen. And this is where I should be a good Baptist. They've got it right. I totally agree with this. Luther, this is most certainly true. Yeah, it's when we say amen, he says, this is the way it is. Thank God it is. And that's all we really need to say.
So when Paul puts this at the end of today's text, that's it. This is not negotiable. This is the way it is.
This is it. Now, he's going to take a springboard off of this into tomorrow's program with that word therefore. And whoever you've got assigned for tomorrow, they need to spend some time on the word therefore.
It's another Illinois guy.
Oh, good.
John Lukumsky.
Oh, jolly John. I heard him earlier this morning, too. He's great. I love him. Therefore. Yeah. What we've just been talking about has tremendous implications for our lives from this point on. And it's a life filled with peace, confidence, security, because we know whose we are, why we are, and where we're going.
Pastor Larry Troxell has been my guest. I love you in preacher mode. I'm going to have to get up to Bowen, Illinois and see you in live action in the pulpit. This has been just a great lesson this morning. And we appreciate you driving all the way down and doing this in person. All the best to your wife.
I will convey
that. Greet her warmly on our behalf at the radio station here.
Like I said, this is why they really need to put cameras in here.
Yes. Coming up next, Faith and Family. Don't miss Mark Hawkinson with Moments of Assurance. That comes up at noontime every day. We're back tomorrow. Romans chapter 12. Read ahead. Who knows where we may go. It's going to be fun. We'll see you then, guys. Goodbye.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Bible Study archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.